Welcome back, WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and WNST.net. It is Baltimore Positive. This is, let's see, episode 3, part 3. Dutch Rupert's Burger here. We're doing it all for the bone marrow registry. For There Goes My Hero. We lost Mary Kay. She's out in the hallway here swabbing folks as they order
pizza.
Is that
your wife, Mary Kay?
Mary Kay, no. She runs There Goes My Hero.
Oh, she does.
My wife is a survivor. My wife has had leukemia twice, beginning in March of 2014. And she had her life saved by the genetic markers. And this is where I want to bring you in. This is a good segue. You'll like this segue. Don Moeller, former Baltimore County Executive here. Dutch Rupert's Burger, our congressman, former Baltimore County Executive here as well. And in the last segment, you know, I can take my swats at Trump throughout all this in the Baltimore Positive campaign, but there's a young man who was 21 years of age in Essen, Germany, that stepped up in the last 5 years to save my wife's life, not once, but twice, right? And all he knew about my wife was she was a 41-year-old American woman. And he imagined what her life might be like. And when he saved her life, he wrote her a letter about why he saved her life. And he imagined her with children and wanting to spend time with her family. And he sat in a chair, flew to the other side of Germany to sit in a chair for 3 hours and give blood to save her life, and then did it again. And he doesn't understand Trump because he's German and knows the legend of how people like Trump
Hitler,
behave. Hitler, yeah, of course. So he's a younger guy. He's in his late 20s now. And he and I were sitting in the upper deck together in Los Angeles at a Lakers game the night that Trump was elected. It happened to be the week he was in America. And he doesn't understand it. And I think to myself, what do these people think about this? And I think we have a real problem in our country. And you're into cybersecurity. I've only met you once in my life that I remember. You gave a cybersecurity speech for Smart CEO at the Italian restaurant in Harbor East when it was brand new. It was still dusty. It was probably 12 years ago that this happened. And you gave a cybersecurity speech. The only time I saw you. But the thing that scares me the most are for people in this country who have voted for this man, and I use that term loosely, who don't have a passport, who don't know what Asia's like and bullet trains are like. I do. I've been on them. I've been to Hong Kong. I've been to Beijing. I've been all over Australia, the South Pacific, all over South America, all over Europe. And the experience of doing that has taught me about what it means to be an American in other shoes.
But, you know, I've been to about 50 different countries also, and not Bermuda, believe me. Iraq, Afghanistan, Pakistan, you know, Australia, all these different areas. When I come back to the United States, you want to kiss the ground of our country. It's the best country in the world. And, you know, I understand a lot of some of my constituents are very pro-Trump. And you know what? That's their point of view, and I understand that because I'm still going to represent them either way. What I don't like about what Trump is doing is if he makes us weaker as a country, and that's happened in Europe, you know, because of the things he said and his lack of relationships with the leadership there. You know, our country is more dangerous. The world's more dangerous, and that's what's got to stop. I mean, we had the European countries come together, and we all back each other, and because of that, we haven't had another World War.
Pulling out of Paris. In the world could that benefit our
because,
country?
Because Trump doesn't spend a lot of time studying. You know, he focuses
on... He's never read a book, Dutch.
Well, he focuses on what he thinks is going to be right for him. And he has a group of people around him. They're probably, unfortunately, yes people. And, you know, they stroke his ego. And, you know, and he... Trump, because of his narcissistic personality, he can't afford to lose. If you go against him, he'll get rid of you. Look at the government. A lot of our department heads, they're acting. You know, the deputy departments, they're all acting. And, you know, that's not where we need to go as a country. We've got a lot of problems domestically and externally. You know, I do. That's what I do. National security.
Well, that's what I want to get.
Russia.
Talk me about cybersecurity and what this entails and the infiltration of one of our elections. That is exactly why Dutch is on that.
Well,
that's
what bothered me is the people in this country almost accept the fact that we were attacked by Russia. That's been proven. Russia interfered with our election, and they've also agreed that they did it to help Trump get elected. You impact our democracy, and people can support that. That's what bothers me. Other issues, if they like Trump's style or whatever. But when it comes to patriotism, when I go to Iraq and Afghanistan, when I see these troops, when I visit them in the medical hospitals, and their legs are blown off, or they have some people blow their faces off. I mean, and these are people fighting for our liberty and our justice. And here we have a president who really doesn't respect that that relationships with European countries, and yet he's developed a very close relationship with Putin. That bothers me. Now, there's a lot
that
I know.
That should bother everyone.
That's a lot that I can't say. I was the top Democrat on the Intelligence Committee, so there's the classified information I know. It'd probably make things a lot worse if I said, but I can't talk about it.
Well, Dutch, I remember you saying this is even pre-Trump, and it actually worried me. I said to you one day, I said, Dutch, what keeps you up at night? Do you remember what you said?
Yeah, I don't know. I said spicy Mexican food.
After spicy Mexican food.
Weapons of mass destruction and nuclear weapons.
And cyber attacks.
And cyber. And let me tell you why. The first thing, if Russia, United States, or China get into a nuclear war, the earth is over as we know it. We have so much power that we would blow each other up. And
everybody knows that, but the question is whether they respect it or not.
But
right?
They respect it because you have to maintain power. Now, I'm a Democrat. There are a lot of Democrats that don't want to give any money to defense. I represent NSA. NSA probably does more to protect our country and support the people who are protecting our country than any other entity in war or whatever. We get information what China and Russia are doing, and that's why we can stay ahead of the curve. But if we go weak, look at world history. If you're weak, you'll be taken over. Look, at China is a perfect example through their long history of why certain regimes came in and certain ones left. So we have to stay ahead of the curve on technology. And when we had this bill called sequestration years ago, which never should have passed, it cuts everything across the board. It made us weaker. Our military was 2-3 years behind Russia and China on what we call hypersonic weapons. These are missiles that are faster than the speed of sound. They could probably take out an aircraft carrier. And we have to stay ahead of the curve offensively and defensively. And because sequestration, and that wasn't Trump. That was the Congress, U.S. Congress, that passed that law, and we've got to get rid of it. We were able to waive it the last 2 years.
See, the people in your chamber, in your area, I mean, I'm sure we could go to a space age level here on what you know about cybersecurity.
I know a lot about space,
but
I'm
a part AOC person, so I don't want to pick on her or pick on Mitch McConnell, right? I mean, I can take two different ages, two different genders, two different parts of the world. What do they really understand? I have a hard time with sports when I'm sitting in a room where people don't really understand baseball or football and trying to get them to understand that. When they don't understand cybersecurity or those kinds of powers for whatever reason, that's a very difficult thing for you.
Let me give an example of how dangerous cybersecurity is and how dangerous cyber attacks are and why we have to have cybersecurity. And we are, by the way, in our area. I mean, you have Silicon Valley, but the region, because of NSA more than anybody else, we're considered the cybersecurity capital of the world. And we have more people probably working on that than any place else in the United States. So, you know, now what is cyber? Okay, the internet. There were positive things, but a lot of negative things. Just 2 years ago, or 2017, our Commerce Department estimated that China stole from our businesses, our academia, even our fertilizer companies, small businesses, over $600 billion. China built their space program, which is very good now, stealing from us when we weren't as active in cyber defense. So, you know, cyber, when we're talking about electric cars and about the future and so many things, the lights here, the infrastructure, the grid systems, that can all be stopped by cyber attacks.
I feel like the grid is the number one. Like, well, if they want to take down our economy, right? I mean,
well, yeah, but you talk about our economy. If they can go in and Iran was trying to do this years ago, our Wall Street. You attack our major financial institutions, people will panic and pull all the money out. There's so many things that can happen. It's why we have to educate. We have to have education for our kids. We need people to really work, you know, in the cyber area, but it's called STEM education, the engineering and that type of thing. We need this. We have to have this to stay ahead of Russia and China. And China's got the money. The thing with Russia, Putin is so good that he puts all his money into space, cyber, military. The Russian economy is falling down. China's going to have a bad economy in the next couple of years, and that might be an opportunity for us to bring it up.
China's
keep growing too. So there's a lot. We are probably in the most dangerous, vulnerable times than we've ever been in this world because of the firepower that all of our especially nuclear firepower, but other firepowers that we have too. And whether it's cyber attacks, whether it's our airplanes. I mean, so we have to balance. So then Democrats don't seem to like military. Well, we need military. But we also have to take care of home base. And that's where Democrats come in. And that's where we need a balance between what we need. And I'm military. You know, when I'm military, there's the committees that I'm on. And, you know, my intelligence background. So we need to stay ahead of China and Russia. But we've got to take care of our neighborhoods, our kids, our education system. You know, we still have the best education system in the world. China graduates more engineers, but our institutions are still superior. And then here's another thing. The immigration issue, it needs to be fixed. What we have now is we have these people coming from all over the world that want to go to our Harvards and Yales and the University of Baltimore Law School at night. That's what I did. And
I went to University of Baltimore. Well,
I was a Terp. I played lacrosse around too. So, but the bottom line is a lot of these people, Chinese, whatever, come from all over the world because they want to go to our college institutions. But because of our immigration laws, and they love it here, and they want to raise their family here, we send them back home, and then they're being used against us in what we've taught them. So, you know, we've got to get some more balance here. And unfortunately, you know, if think about what other person's point of view is. There are a lot of people that I represent in this area of the county that I'm the only Democrat elected here right now, other than maybe myself and Johnny O.
Right.
And so, you know, understand that you have a point of view why you support Trump. I don't have any problem with that. That's your point of view. But try to look at the facts and what's in the best interest of your family, of your person, of your community, of your state, and your government. And I think we have to have Trump refocus and make sure, you know, that he starts looking at what's best for USA. Now, probably a lot of people like the tax cut.
No, that's not going to happen.
The tax cut, well,
that's not going to happen.
The tax cut helped the higher 1%. If we could have taken, I don't mind giving a tax cut, but if we could have taken a couple more of those 2 or 3 points and given it to the middle class, like Clinton did, then our middle class gets more money, they spend it, and we have a better economy. And that's what usually happens.
See, I'm going to bet this is, as we pivot, and I want to talk a little bit about your district, Dutch, because it's a strange district, and we have a lot of them in the United States. But this is where I'm going to turn from the darkness and the, I mean, you can get pretty depressed because Dutch has been in those meetings. And you get a sense of how serious these cyber attacks are. But when we go to 2020 and we look ahead, that's when there's going to be a mayor's election, mayoral election. I want to vote on the decency of the American people, Dutch, because I think you're right.
All I want is honest. Right. I want smart. And I want somebody with a vision.
I'd say 90% of the people, 98% of the people that go into politics start out decent. Now, some use it to their advantage, and that's what happened here. You know, when the mayor made those decisions, when she was running for mayor to stay with these Happy Hollies, that was really bad judgment. And we'll find out now whether it's criminal or not, but I'm making judgments on that right now.
And I think, do you agree that if the Democrats put, and we've got 20-some candidates, maybe 21, I guess, today, that if the Democrats put up a candidate who is perceived to be good and decent and take us back to a sense of normalcy, that the Democrats should be able to regain the presidency?
You can't say that now, though. What do you focus on? Look, I happen to know Joe Biden. When I was Gang of Eight, he was assigned to us from the White House. I gained a lot of respect for him. I'm probably a little bit more in the middle than he is, but he's a very decent man. He's had some tough times. He lost his first wife and one of his child. He's a very decent man. He's a blue-collar guy, and he relates to blue-collar, and I like that because I represent a lot of blue-collar. And you know, I think that you know, all the arrogance and the narcissistic comments that Trump keeps making and not putting his country first, USA first, that's what I say to my friend. Look, do you want a president who's wants USA first? Forget himself. You know, I'm the best. I'm this. Well, I think Joe Biden has the experience internationally to do the things that we need to do to get our country back on track. This is ridiculous. Every day you're worried about what's the tweet of the day, and I'm the best at this and that. And, you know, and I don't focus on a lot of that anymore because I've got my job to do in Congress and in this national security issue. But I don't like to see our country split. You know, when you're a bipartisan person like me, even though I'm low to my party election time, and you see the country falling apart because of this partisanship.
Well, he ferments it.
But what bothers me, I want my friends who I respect, the Republican side, I want them to stand up to him. But they won't. Well, two or three have. I mean, Flake stood up. and McCain, who I really respected, didn't always agree with him, but he took him on. He said, and he's a USA first. That's what you want to look at, somebody who's going to have the experience but care about that, and I think that's Biden.
You talk about cybersecurity and cyber attacks and real bombs and North Korea and Pakistan and India and the issues we have all over the world. But when it comes to cyber, the Cambridge Analytica, the weaponization of information that's Orwellian, I mean, quite frankly, and I went to University of Baltimore, shout out to Julie Simon for teaching me about Marshall McLuhan and the media and the medium being the message. And this thing here that you probably couldn't have imagined maybe even in the beginning of cybersecurity 20 years ago. And
well,
then,
let me tell you this. When you're the Gang of Eight, all these other countries want to get all the information from me. So I assume that my iPhone, the whole time I was in the Intelligence Committee in this classified information, that China, Russia, Iran were all on my iPhone. They were listening to my phone calls. I just assumed that. You had to be aware of that because we can't always determine if that happens. So when we were all attacked in the last election by Russia, everybody was really upset. I can't believe this is happening. It didn't bother me because I assumed they were doing it all along. But then when we find out, and the facts are clearly there, that they were doing whatever they could to help Trump to get him elected, and then Trump's people knew. They knew that Russia was doing this, and they even requested information. That's not what America is about. If you believe in everything about Trump, that's fine. You're my constituent. I just hope that you look and see what I'm doing to try to help you. But other than that, that's where you are. That's what elections are about.
Well, how did you feel about the Mueller report?
I thought Mueller should have been a little bit more aggressive on the facts. When he didn't talk about the obstruction of justice issues, he left it up really to Congress. I think he should have been straight up, given the facts, and then you decide, Congress. And he decided that, and he was a former prosecutor. I said, I was a former prosecutor. You know a lot of times when you investigate, somebody's guilty. But if you don't have the facts to prove them guilty beyond a reasonable doubt to a moral certainty, then you can't go with the case. So I think Mueller should have been a little bit more direct, and maybe we'll find out now that we're pulling him into the arena. But what bothers me now, we're checks and balances. We're the greatest country in the world because of our checks and balances, the courts, the administration, and Congress. And Trump totally has dissed us. I'm not cooperating. Nobody's going to come. I'm not giving you any information. Why can't we see his tax returns? I don't know any other president that we haven't. What are you hiding? And how can his people who support him agree that we don't care about your tax? We don't care what your relationships are. For some of you're doing that's not right, or is a conflict of interest, or you're breaking the law. We that's not who we are as Americans. And you know, but we've got to deal with the hand that's dealt to us. Right now, he's the president. And, you know, even if you look at the issue about impeachment, I mean, there are a lot of people who've been charged criminally for some of the things that I've heard, you know, and seen. I haven't read the Mueller report yet, but I will. And when you look at some of the things that he has done, but if you impeach him, he can stall it for a long time. It fires up his base. So what I'm saying to people on my side, get the facts. Just do what you can to get the facts. And that way it's not political, even though people say it is. Get the facts on these things that have been done and then lay them out and let the American people see that. And then you decide if you want this person to represent you another 4 years. Now, he's not finished because that Southern District of New York, I mean, they're good. And you know, the Mueller referred a lot to them because Mueller was very focused strictly on the Russia. So when he saw other things, he referred it. Now, they're still under the control of justice, and I don't know what's going to happen there, but you got to give Mueller credit. If he thought something was there, he's also referred some stuff to the Attorney General of New York and that state, and Trump can't impeach. I mean, no, and Trump, he'd probably impeach himself. I mean, I'm not impeached. He would probably pardon himself, pardon all these people. Well, why should his friends be pardoned and other people who committed crimes are in jail? This is what I can't understand, really, about some of the things that he's done and said, and yet my friends on the other side of the aisle just let him get away and don't even call him out on it. When I saw the chairman of the judiciary, Lindsey Graham, and he said, it's over, we're not doing anything more. Well, wait a minute, it's not over at all. We're America, we're freedom, we're democracy. We want to see the facts. and they're trying to stop us from even seeing the facts.
We're doing some Baltimore positive. Dutch Rupert's over here. Don Moeller with us. Don, you got a million things to reset. Go for it, man.
I know we're sort of winding down here. A couple things, Dutch, to try to end up on a positive note.
Yeah.
I look at your district. It's an incredible district. Baltimore City, Baltimore County, Anne Arundel County, Howard County, Harford County. It runs the gamut.
Yeah.
As you get around those districts, what unites the people? I mean, they're so different. Five different subdivisions. What brings those people together? What unites them? What do they think?
You know, what really does a lot of it, when you take everything, and we're all different here, like the eastern end of Baltimore County is very pro-Trump, but they all come together for patriotism, and I think that's a big issue, the love of America. And, you know, we have different issues. There are different things that have happened in lives.
I'm not sure we all agree on what America is anymore. And I often wondered in the Civil War and, you know, slavery. And we're now debating whether Robert E. Lee was an American hero. I mean, it's outrageous to me.
But in the midst of that, Nestor, there are these little tidbits. What was it, all over social media recently, where a couple of young guys in a restaurant see an older woman eating by herself.
Right,
and they go,
that happens every day of my life, though.
Every day of your life. And I think that's what we have to do.
I'm from Baltimore. I got black friends, Chinese friends, white friends.
I went to City College and was a mixed school. I loved it.
We have to bet on decency.
Yeah. But look, you look at our forefathers. Everybody was talking about the forefathers, and that's important. The checks and balances are extremely important. When Trump tried to go off and stop people from coming into this country, and it wasn't legally correct, it went through the courts, and the courts turned it around. That's checks and balances. And you don't want dictatorship. You want America where you have competition, where you have freedom, where you have liberty, where no one's going to interfere with your election, which is democracy.
I want a government that has transparency and a constituency that demands transparency.
Well, I think transparency is very important. And I can tell you this, from the time I was in local government, you try to do as much as you can from a transparent point of view. But one of my specialties, and I was in leadership of the Intelligence Committee, you can't have transparency there because you don't want Russia, China, Iran, North Korea knowing what your plans are.
Understood.
But when it comes to the basics, yes, the more you can be transparent, the better.
We don't let anybody get away from Baltimore Positive without finding a little bit about them on the fun side.
Yeah,
big sports fan. Everybody knows Dutch is a sports fan. What's your all-time favorite Baltimore sports moment, Dutch?
I mean, I love when I was a kid going to the game with my father and my brother Reese. You know, I love seeing Johnny Unitas throw long touchdown passes in the last minute and a half to Lenny Moore or whatever. That's one memory. I mean, it keeps. Huh?
The younger people are yelling Cal Ripken.
I have a relationship with Cal Ripken, and I think I was the only member in politics that he invited to his Hall of Fame induction. That was really fun, and that was very unique. And when you're an old baseball guy like me, since I was 5 years old, the baseball card, I saw all these people that I knew, the old timers, they all come back to the Hall of Fame. That was really unique. You know, I just love sports. I love playing sports. I love people used to tease me as county executive because I'd always talk about teamwork, but that was what you were trained to do, the teamwork. You got to work hard to get where you are, but you're better as a team. There are so many sports moments, you know, when the Ravens won the Super Bowls. I remember being down in Tampa, and we beat the Dickens, you know, out of the Giants.
That was a good day. That was a really good day.
And in the San Francisco, I mean,
was your heart pounding in the last 30
that was
seconds?
So
I got to get him a copy of Purple Rain.
He's got to read
Purple Rain first or the Mueller report.
He's got to read it. All right, when you talked about your staff,
my favorite movie. Forrest Gump. You know why?
You like the chocolates.
It was an American movie. It was a good guy. It had military. It had history. Life is like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get, right?
Tom Hanks is safe. Tom Hanks is safe.
So right, far.
You're in that car. You told us all. Your staff laughed. You drive a couple hours a day. I know you're usually on the phone. You're working. But if you were going to put some music on, what do you listen to? What is Dutch Rupert's
Burger
like?
You know, I'm very bounce. I mean, look, I loved Motown. When I was at University of Maryland, I found a part-time job. I was playing lacrosse there, but I was booking bands to the fraternity house.
There you go, Nestor. Okay? Kindred spirits.
So I loved the Motown. And I really
See, I am qualified
it.
For politics.
My wife liked Beatles. That was, we're aging ourselves now.
Drew Keggers. Who knew?
I like it all. I can do a little country western. I mean, I can
don't do that.
I can do rap. I mean, I like it all, but it depends. But every day, I'm probably aging myself. And, you know, driving 2.5 hours to Washington, thank God I got a Sirius radio. I probably put my station on blend a lot. And that kind of does a balance.
Gives you a little mix.
Yeah, a little mix.
Well, Master, I think we've set the bar pretty high. Episode one, Congressman Dutch Ruppersberger. Others, we're going to have to step up.
I know what. We're going to be at a Catonsville at State Fair next week. You want to say a little bit about Malia? Just talk about our next guest? Next
week on the podcast is going to be very, very interesting. I know Dutch knows Malia Cromer from Goucher University very well. It's going to be a great back and forth. Nestor is somewhat skeptical of polling, Dutch. He's not a big believer.
He's not
a big believer in polling.
I've owned a radio station.
Have Malia if it would happen with Trump, I mean,
we're going to have Malia. Don't encourage him. We're going to have Malia come in and set him straight.
I've owned a radio station for 21 years. I've been on the radio 28 years. Arbitron says I've never had a listener, and they are the arbitrator of all things radio that's purchased. So I don't believe in lies, damn lies, and statistics.
Where did you go to high school?
Dundalk High School.
Okay, all the way. Okay,
he's an owl.
See, you talk about all this infrastructure problem, and we don't build enough schools. My school is the best school in the state.
Oh, well, it was just a new school was just built. That was great. That was good.
I want to thank Pizza John's. You want to do your thing.
It's my Dundalk
it's
shirt.
It's a Dundalk thing.
It's my Dundalk shirt.
I can't thank Congressman Dutch Ruppersberger enough for being our initial guest.
Well, I love coming back to my community and communicating. That's what's really fun.
And you believe in Baltimore, don't you?
I love it. I'm homegrown. You kidding me? Don't mess with my Baltimore.
He didn't come here for you. He came for the pizza.
He came for the pizza.
We got a lot of work to do with Baltimore, but we have work to do everywhere.
Yes,
And we got to get the country together. This far left and far right and the nastiness there, it's got to stop. That's not who we are. It doesn't make our country strong. End of story.
I've been purple all the way. You knew that about me,
right?
Oh,
you got to stay with Ravens all the way.
I'm purple all the way.
There we go.
Appreciate There goes my hero. We're swabbing here at Pizza John's. Appreciate Jamie and Dutch and everybody for coming out and being a part of doing what we're doing. Episode, let's see, one, part three in the books. There's Dutch Ruppersberger, Don Moeller. I'm Nestor. We're Pizza John's in Essex. We are WNST.net, AM 1570 at WNST Towson, Baltimore. And we never stop talking. Baltimore positive.
Good job.
There's pizza waiting over there for you.
There is.
Yes, there is. Watch your step when you get up on these cords. It's all sitting there with your name on it.